Welcome to Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the scriptures. If you're following us on YouTube, please comment, share, like, and subscribe. Really helps our placement in the YouTube algorithm. Recently, I have been reading through Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, which reads, "He, that is Christ, is the radiance of the glory of God." In reading over scripture, something I like to do is follow what I believe is biblical counsel, which is to meditate or to reflect on God's word. I also use the counsel given by some of the 17th century Puritan writers who spoke on biblical meditation, writers such as Thomas Goodwin, Thomas Watson, John Owen, and giving insight as to how to take a look at scripture and to ruminate over it, to get more out of it than just a simple, for lack of a better term, surface reading. In reading through this, it occurred to me as I was reflecting on it that the glory of God and Christ being the incarnation of the glory of God has some staggering implications. As I was thinking this over, I was thinking of places such as the Torah, which speaks about the glory of the Lord in the cloud. The cloud is seen by day and the cloud is seen by night. And that glory is really, in a sense, Christ leading his people through the wilderness. We also find instances of this in the prophecies of Ezekiel, in which Ezekiel has a vision of the glory of the Lord departing the temple, moving up and east from Jerusalem, and then at some point, many, many chapters later, how the glory returns to the temple. An interesting reference, I'm not going to pull up book, chapter, and verse on this. It talks about how the glory of the Lord stood on a hill, which gives a little bit of a hint of personality rather than the glory just simply being some, let's say, disembodied ball of light. And I think that really helps us that when we see this, thinking of it more than the glory of the Lord being more than just simply, for lack of a better term, God's flashlight or God's cosmic lantern for his people. I believe it goes well beyond that. There's personality in this glory. It occurred to me, especially as I was thinking through a New Testament reference to a showing of the glory of God, which is found in Luke chapter 2. It's the nativity narrative that speaks about the shepherds outside the village of Bethlehem. It reads, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we read, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." If you understand the glory of the Lord as being an attribute of who Christ is, that this has a rather interesting implication to it, that on the night of Christ's birth, when the Lord Jesus is being born as a fully human baby in Bethlehem, that in the fields just outside Bethlehem, there were shepherds who were encountering the glory of the Lord. They are encountering in a very real way Christ and his divinity, his essence as the second person of the Trinity, that in a very real way Christ is encountering them in that field while Christ in his humanity is lying in a manger not very far away in Bethlehem, that both are happening at the same time. And I think it helps us to, for lack of a better term, think outside the box when it comes to what we read in scripture, that when we see the personality of Christ in places where the glory of God is mentioned, it helps us to understand that there's a deeper, for me, a deeper personal and theological and devotional emphasis that's there that perhaps we would have thought about otherwise. So what I'd like us to do when we're reading through scripture and we're seeing how Christ is being referred to, that we can in many ways think outside the box, that Christ shows up in many ways that we aren't expecting. I know that I've done some videos on the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, and I truly believe that the angel of the Lord who's mentioned in the Old Testament is the pre-incarnate Christ. And again, I'm not going to go over any proofs of that in this video. And I do have some other videos which I will link to as we're ending this episode. I think it's important for us to begin to think outside the box because it shows us a depth to God, and particularly a depth to Christ, that we may not have thought of. For me, it gives me a much deeper appreciation for who Christ is, that it's rather intriguing for me to think that the one who was born in a manger in Bethlehem is also in his divinity showing his glory to shepherds a short distance away, showing again Christ's divinity, full divinity, and full humanity simultaneously. I'd like you to ponder over these things, and hopefully it will help you to think outside the box in terms of your faith.